Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Katie Gillen with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, a 7-year-old girl has been killed in a crash in North Inish Owen. Police say they're currently at the scene of a sudden death in Oma. A priest currently in custody on a charge of attempted sexual communication with a child has appeared at Derry Magistrates Court, and police in Derry are growing concerned for the whereabouts of a man missing from Desert Martin. These stories in full plus more to follow. Mark Gallagher will have all the latest sports news at around 15:15, and that will be followed by farming news and views with Chris Ashmore. But first, a 7-year-old girl has been killed in a crash in North Inish Owen. Three other people, including another child, have been seriously injured. Multiple ambulances, fire tenders and a Coast Guard helicopter attended the scene yesterday evening. Tina Gates reports.
The child was a passenger in a car which was in collision with a van on the R240 at Carrow Moor, Carndonagh, shortly before 6:30 yesterday evening. A woman driving the car, a man who was a front seat passenger and a child who was a rear passenger were all taken from the scene to Alton na Galvin Hospital in Derry, where they all remain in serious condition. The road is currently closed for a technical examination by forensic collision investigators and local diversions are in place.
Speaking on the 9 till noon show this morning, Inspector Sean McDade made this appeal for information.
We would appeal to any members of the public that would have camera footage, possibly dash cam, that were travelling in the area between Quigley's Point and Carndonagh between 6 p.m. and 6:30 p.m. to make that footage available to Garda Síochána. Anything that people have, even if they think it's really insignificant, might be really important to the investigation.
Police say they're currently at the scene of a sudden death in Oma. The Health and Safety Executive has been informed of the incident that occurred in the Old Mountfield Road area of Killyclogher. The Belfast Telegraph reports that the initial call came in just before 9 o'clock this morning, which detailed a workplace incident involving landscaping machinery. It's understood that three fire appliances, including a specialist rescue team, responded. A priest currently in custody on a charge of attempted sexual communication with a child has appeared at Derry Magistrates Court. He has been released into police custody for further questioning. Donmarie Doherty has more.
58-year-old Edward Gallagher of Orchard Park in Lifford, County Donegal, is charged with attempted sexual communication with a child on dates between April 2nd and April 17th this year. At today's sitting, a PSNI inspector told the court police wanted to take Gallagher back into police custody for 3 days to question him in regards to 7 possible new offences. There was no objection from Gallagher's defence team to the application, and District Judge Conor Heaney released Gallagher into police custody for a period of 3 days as requested.
Police in Derry are growing concerned for the whereabouts of a man missing from Desert Martin. 55-year-old Alan Cousley was last seen in the Main Street area of the town shortly before midnight on Tuesday. His friends and family have not heard from him since then and they are concerned for his well-being. Alan is described as around 6 foot tall and of stocky build with grey hair, which is slightly receding. Anyone who has seen Alan or knows of his whereabouts is asked to contact police on 101. The head of cancer services in the West and Northwest says it's hoped within the next 5 years, cancer services at Letterkenny University Hospital will see significant investment. Professor Michael Caron was speaking after the HSE West and Northwest Cancer Network, in partnership with the University of Galway, achieving formal accreditation from OECI, the Organisation of European Cancer Institutes. It's the first multiple hospital network to achieve the accreditation in Ireland and only the second across Europe. Professor Michael Caron says they have a vision for cancer care in the region, and the OECI accreditation process will be crucial in realising it.
The plan is to put in a functional cancer centre at GUH with functional ambulatory centres in the network across the region. So I would envisage, you know, there being an infrastructural uplift in Letterkenny and an ability to recruit and develop people that can help deliver the service in an integrated process with a regional approach.
Is there any time frame for that? We know that there is a concept plan, as it were, for an ambulatory centre in Letterkenny. Could that be 3 years down the line, 5 years down the line, 10 years down the line?
The expectation is that we will have very significant developments over the course of the next 5 years, and indeed we have to, because the OECI process holds us to account. You know, we have a quality improvement plan with key performance indicators within it, which mean that we have to move things forward. I would expect that there will be very significant improvements in infrastructure across the network over the course of the next 5 years. Specifics will have to be worked out in the course of the next 6 months, but like, we've been working towards this for the last couple of years now, and there is huge support from our regional executive led by Tony Canavan, and locally within the hospital in Letterkenny and with HSE Estates. So I think everybody understands the importance of delivering a quality assured cancer programme for the region, and the necessity with regards to infrastructure, staffing and improved diagnostics.
The finance minister says the government can no longer guarantee a VAT reduction for hospitality businesses in next year's budget. The rate increased to 13.5% almost 2 years ago, following a temporary reduction during the COVID-19 pandemic. A return to the 9% rate from next year was promised in the new programme for government. However, Finance Minister Pascal Donoghue says the coalition has been navigating economic uncertainty since then.
All these decisions are made on budget day. And what we have to do is ensure that if we make a decision like that permanently on budget day, that it's affordable. And we explain then what are the other things that we are not going to do.
It's been revealed that four medical consultants are operating weekly private clinics on the grounds of Letterkenny University Hospital, and all 33 private clinics have been held so far this year. The figures came to light in response to a parliamentary question asked by AIN2 leader Deputy Padder Tobin. Donegal representative Mary T. Sweeney says in light of recent NTPF figures showing how many Donegal patients were sent for private treatment to clear waiting lists, a review is needed and decisions have to be made on the provision of services into the future.
We need this government to make a decision on how we're going to treat the patients properly and the staff of the hospitals properly. At the moment, we've been failed on every level. The National Treatment Purchase Fund has spent over $100 million annually to treat patients that are public patients in private clinics owned by these often consultants. And we need to decide, are we going to actually make our private system better and employ the consultants we need in the service, or are we going to try and make this a private health system by stealth?
If you go into the waiting room, for instance, at Kingsbridge Private Hospital in Ballykelly, you're almost guaranteed half the people there are from Donegal. If they've not been referred from the HSE, that means they're on a waiting list and still waiting in Letterkenny. So at the very least, what the NTPF is doing is it's giving people procedures quicker than they might otherwise have got them.
You're exactly the nail on the head, Donal, and $100 million annually would hire a lot of consultants directly into the service that we would be able to accommodate those patients in a timely fashion in the proper service. We need the debate. We need an open and honest and frank debate about our health service if we're to make improvements in it. And until that happens, we're going to be piecemealing and we're going to be putting people into private clinics.
There were 80,031 arrivals from Ukraine and Ireland between the start of the conflict there in 2022 and the third of last month. Of those, 8,604 arrived in Donegal, with the highest number 2,022 arriving in the Donegal local electoral area. 1,703 arrived in Letterkenny, 1,575 in Glenties, 1,076 in North Inishowen, 808 in Milford, 798 in Lifford-Stornorler and 622 in South Inishowen. The Dáil has heard how every element of the operation of nursing homes is profit-driven, and in many ways HICWA is ineffective because it cannot ensure best practice is being followed in every area of a facility. Speaking on a Labour Party motion on the future nursing home provision, Deputy Charles Ward outlined his experience as a healthcare worker in nursing homes. Deputy Ward said HICWA inspections do not include many areas where residents are frequently cared for.
When you're in a care environment, and I'll give you an example, you're walking with a resident and you're taking that resident to bed, and HICWA in the hallway watching every aspect of what you do, which is their job. You close that door, HICWA aren't allowed into that room. They can only observe you in the public doorways, frameways. HICWA cannot go into the room and watch you put a resident to bed. This is wrong. We don't know if best practices are being taught. HICWA have to take responsibility in this too. They have to look at the way things are done. For example, when you're dealing with people who are training in healthcare at VTEC level 5, a healthcare assistant, for example, you can get that online and you can spend €1,800 getting that and walk into a home and get work experience and get a job. Where for myself, when I went back, I trained for 2 years part-time to up my skills. Elsbeth Vaughan, ATB, one of the best trainers you could get, and done everything to a very high standard. And when you go into a private nursing home and they see the standard, straight away you're getting calls from the HSC, come over, we'll give you this, we'll give you that. I would not be moved. I worked for minimum wage in there. I would not be moved because I cared for the people. And I just think that that's what's missing. The fact is that we no longer are caring for the people. It's profit driven. We need to get back to that place where the people and the elder citizens are most important.
A Donegal senator says the fishing industry has had enough promises, strategies and reports, and what's needed now is action. Senator Manus Boyle was speaking during a discussion on the floor of the Senate about the state of the sea fisheries sector. He said quota reductions and limitations are squeezing people out of the industry, and the loss of fishing grounds such as Rockall is also having a detrimental impact, especially in Killybegs.
Where was our government that didn't fight for Rockall? I mean, we had boats, we could sustain the whitefish fleet in Killybegs because they could fish in Rockall for a couple of months of the year. That's all gone. We have one whitefish boat in Killybegs now. Decommissioning, we lost 39 vessels. That's a whole coastal community gone. We need to start to try and work on these things. Generational renewal, I know, to encourage young people into the sector. I mean, any young person I talk to now, they're not interested. When I was at school in Killybegs, all the boys could do was wait to get away to fish and get their skipper's ticket, and it was a lifetime job. Now they're lucky to get a month or a year out of it, you know. The people that's looking in here today at home, they're saying to me, Manus, it's all right, yours up there shouting about this, that and that. At the end of the day, Minister, if we don't stand up and be counted now, we're finished. We have given so much, we have nothing left to give. We really have. It's time now that we get something solid from Europe. I know that the Commissioner was over. He seems to be a very nice man and he wants to engage. But it's time for him to deliver. Let him deliver for us. We have to get other quotas in here. We have to try and do other species of fish. We have to try and keep our coastal communities going.
The time is 12 minutes past five. We'll be back after the short break. The time is coming up to 16 minutes past five. Mark is here with the latest sports news.
Thanks, Kitty. Good evening. We'll start with the sad news that Liverpool forward Diogo Jota has died in a car accident in Spain at the age of 28. Jota's 26-year-old brother, André Silva, was also killed in the accident. He was a footballer with Liga Portugal 2 side Penafiel. The accident happened at 12:30 a.m. local time last night in Zamora when the Lamborghini Jota and his brother were travelling in left the road and caught fire. Jota had married his long-term partner fewer than 2 weeks ago and he had three children. He joined Liverpool from Wolves in 2020 and helped them win the Premier League title last season as well as the FA Cup and Carabao Cup in 2022. Former Liverpool defender Jimmy Carragher says the news has shocked the whole of football.
There's some of that he's had. He's probably going into the prime of his career. He's just won, you know, the league title with Liverpool, the Nations League of Portugal. He's married 2 weeks ago. It just shows us all, doesn't it, how quickly, you know, life can change.
A minute's silence in memory of Jota will be held ahead of tonight's Women's European Championship matches in Switzerland. Italy and Belgium have just kicked off their Group B clash in Sion. Later in that group, World Cup holder Spain take on Iberian rivals Portugal in Bern from 8. Moving on to tennis, Novak Djokovic gave Britain's Dan Evans little hope of an upset as he beat him in straight sets in the second round of Wimbledon this afternoon. He's chasing an 8th All England club title, which would draw him level with Roger Federer's record haul. But Djokovic says that is not something that motivates him.
I don't reflect fully on everything that I have been through. I would like to, but I think that's going to come probably when I set the record aside and then sip margarita on the beach with Federer and Nadal and just reflect on our rivalry and everything.
The Serb dropped only 5 games against Evans, claiming a 6-3, 6-2, 6-love victory on centre court. 11th seed Alex de Minaur is also through. He lost the opening set to Frenchman Arthur Cazot, but it took the next 3 to advance. In the women's draw, 8th seed Iga Swiatek is in action against Cady McNally. The first set is still on serve in centre court. And defending champion Barbara Krejcikova has gone to a deciding set against Caroline Dollahide of the US. Moving on to rugby, Ireland fullback Hugo Keenan finally looks set to make his debut for the Lions on the Australian Tour this Saturday. Illness forced Keenan to withdraw from the team to play in the win against Queensland Reds yesterday, but he's been selected to start against Waratahs in Sydney. Tadhg Byrne will captain the team in the second row alongside fellow Irishman James Ryan. Finlay Beelam, Josh van der Fleer and Mac Hansen are the other Irish internationals included, while head coach Andy Farrell has called up his own son Owen Farrell to replace the injured Elliot Daly. In golf, Emma Fleming is the leading Irish woman on day one of the Irish Open at the Carlton House. The Dubliner shot a 69 today to sit on 4 under par, 2 strokes behind Swiss leader Kira Tomberlini, who is the clubhouse leader on 6 under. Anna Foster and Anya Donegan both carded rounds of 71 to sit on 2 under par, while Sarah Byrne is level par midway through her opening round. Leona Maguire finished the day on 1 under, but she is reasonably pleased with her start to her home tournament.
Felt like I hit a lot of good putts. Had a nasty lip out on 3, hung over the hole on 10, hung over the hole on 12 as well, I think. So, yeah, I mean, that's golf. But overall, I'm happy with how I give myself lots of chances and maybe take more advantage of the par 5s tomorrow, hopefully.
Seamus Power is in action today on the PGA Tour. The Waterford native is on 2 under midway through his opening round at the John Deere Classic. In Gaelic Games, there's one game in the Donegal All-County League this evening. It's in Division 1 when Glenn Swilly travel to play Buncrana. Throw-in is at 8 o'clock. Finally, coming up on the Score programme this evening, we'll be looking ahead to this weekend's League of Ireland fixtures for Finn Harps and Derry City with former Harps captain Declan Boyle. Plus, we'll hear from Gavin Carlin and Anthony Black, two Donegal coaches in soccer and rugby who are a long way from home and will be bringing underage teams back to the county this summer. That's all coming up on The Score after the 7 o'clock news this evening. Kitty.
Thanks, Mark. And now for the weather, mostly cloudy with patchy drizzle at first tonight, otherwise largely dry with variable cloud and clear spells. Cloud will again gradually thicken from the northwest overnight with rain and drizzle developing in coastal parts by morning. Low temperatures of 10 to 14 degrees. To conclude this evening's bulletin, a 7-year-old girl has been killed in a crash in North Inishowen. 3 other people, including another child, have been seriously injured. Police say they're currently at the scene of a sudden death in Oma. The Health and Safety Executive has been informed of the incident that occurred in the old Mountfield Road area of Killyclogher. A priest currently in custody on a charge of attempted sexual communication with a child has appeared at Derry Magistrates Court. He has been released into police custody for further questioning. And police in Derry are growing concerned for the whereabouts of a man missing from Desert Martin. 55-year-old Alan Cousley was last seen in the Main Street area of the town shortly before midnight on Tuesday. That's all from the newsroom for now. We'll be back with the headlines at 6 o'clock.
Are you a farmer looking to grow your business? Get up to €75,000 with Cultivate, our competitive, unsecured agricultural loan. Visit us today at Inishowen, Ballybofey and Stranorler, or Lifford Credit Union. Sponsors of today's farming show. Credit Unions of Ireland are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. A number of projects in the Northwest have been successful in their applications for funding under a Safety, Health and Wellbeing initiative from the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine. Among them is the Inishowen Development Partnership, which is getting €25,000 for its Fit for Farm Life 2025 programme. And Northwest Forest Services Limited is getting €15,000 for its Enhancing Farm Safety through Targeted Training programme. Donegal farmers will also benefit from a number of health check related activities and programmes in the county, which will be run by some national organisations. For example, the IFA has got €250,000 for its Irish Farmer Health Checks programme. The Irish Farmers Journal, AgriWare and AgriLand are among the other big beneficiaries. The successful projects under the scheme must cover one or more of the following themes: farm safety, farmers' physical health, farmers' mental health and well-being, tractor driving awareness training for children of 14 years of age and older, chainsaw training for farmers and farm safety, and health and well-being events. Dog owners who fail to keep their pets under control should be disqualified from dog ownership. Well, that's the view of Donegal farmer Adrian Gallagher, who holds the position of IFA National Sheep Committee Chairperson. Addressing the Joint Oireachtas Committee on Agriculture, Food and the Marine, he said the escalating problem of dog attacks on livestock will not be solved unless there is a determined and focused approach from the authorities. He pointed out that the option exists for courts to disbar ownership of protected animals if there is a failure to comply with welfare obligations in the Animal Health and Welfare Act. Meanwhile, he said the decision to have the Department of Agriculture as the single enforcement authority is a move in the right direction. Mr. Gallagher stressed to the committee that one of the biggest issues is the lack of a proper database. The most recent figures show that over 200,000 dogs are registered, yet some estimates put the dog population as high as 800,000. The Irish Grassland Association is Ireland's leading voluntary forum for discussing the science of grass and animal production and the economics and finances of dairy, beef, cattle and sheep production systems. This year, the IGA is travelling to the Higgins Farm in the village of Screen in West Sligo next Tuesday, that's the 8th of July, for the annual sheep event. This will focus on the establishment, management and performance achievable from multi-species swards when planned and grazed correctly. There will also be discussion around the grazing enterprises on the farm, and attendees will have the opportunity to learn directly from Philip and Jonathan Higgins about their system, the challenges and the successes. It's an event that no doubt will be of interest to farmers from Donegal. Well, to tell me more, I've been speaking to Lisa McGrain, Vice Chair of the Sheep Committee of the IGA and also a Chagas advisor based in Ballymote.
Yeah, it's a really interesting farm. We hope that everyone will definitely gain something from attending there and seeing what they have to offer. So the Higginses have a mixed enterprise. They have a 200-year-old mid-season lambing flock, and also they contract rare dairy heifers, 160 dairy heifers a year for a dairy farmer. And they've been doing that for 6 years now. And as you've said, one of the main focus of the grass walk will be in the area of multi-species swards. So what is really interesting about the Higginses is they have been sowing these swards for 4 years now, in each of the 4 years, so that you'll be able to see the, you know, a first year sown pasture, second year, third year, and so on. So you'll be able to see for yourself the development of those swards over time, and plenty of discussion around, you know, the management of those swards and what it has done for their production.
And I see in relation to the, I suppose just looking at the sheep, Texel, Suffolk, Belclare, there's a wide variety.
Yeah, there is a good mix. They're mainly running, I suppose, mule cross Suffolk and Texel type yos, but they have changed over the years, and they'll be able to tell you about that. And they're performing really well, a really high performing flock, scanning about 1.9 lambs to the yo this year. So you'll be able to see, I suppose, you know, what does that look like in person, and how are they managing to finish those lambs, then using the multi-species sword as like a finishing block to finish those lambs through slaughter with as little concentrate input as possible.
Now, I see they have a high level of animal performance, both at grass and over the winter period. They use a paddock system. So tell us a little bit about how that operates.
Yeah, so the multi-species swards in particular, I suppose, are used as a finishing block. So they're paddocked up into a good number of paddocks, subdivided, and rotating the lambs around those multi-species swards to, I suppose, both achieve the maximum production from the lamb, but also to try and promote or, you know, the lifespan, I suppose, of those multi-species swards. So as Jonathan and Philip will illustrate on the night, you know, management is key to achieving that, and the paddock system, I suppose, is key to achieving a good production from those swards.
And they also have in place a nutrient management plan.
Yeah, so they will have a nutrient management plan, absolutely, which will be something I suppose many of your listeners may have come across in the year gone by. You know, it's becoming a part of, I suppose, environmental legislation, and I suppose farmers have to be more aware of the impacts of farming on the environment and what they have to do in order to combat that.
Now, the Irish Grassland Association, it is essentially a voluntary forum, but discusses all things in relation to grass and animal production. And certainly for people who have attended events like this, there is much to benefit from.
Yes, so the Irish Grassland Association, I suppose, has been going for a long number of years, but it changed structure slightly in 2022. And it basically is there a voluntary organisation to promote, maximum production from grass, maximum utilisation of grass in all sectors, beef, sheep and dairy, so that we can, promote a profitable, sustainable production system going forward. So your listeners, I suppose, may be familiar with a similar walk that was run by us last year in Margaret Stevenson's farm in Castle Finn. So we hope to have equally as good a day out now in Screen next week.
For those who are interested in going, the air code, which is always worth putting out, F91D924. What time does it all get underway and what can people expect when they get down there?
Yeah, so we have some light refreshments from 6 p.m. If you hope to get them arrived from 6 p.m, we're hoping to start the walk at 6:30 and go from there.
And if people want to find out more just about the Irish Grassland Association, what's the website address?
They can check out the irishgrassland.ie is our web address. You can find out all the information there about this event and any upcoming events we have as well.
And that was Lisa McGrain, Vice Chair of the Irish Grassland Association, and she's also a Chagas Education Officer at their Ballymote office in Sligo. In other news, Chagas, in conjunction with Arrivo, will have their latest signpost farm walk on the farm of Richard Starrett. That's just outside Lifford. That takes place next Wednesday, July the 9th, from 11 in the morning to 1 o'clock. Topics to be discussed will include farm performance and emissions, breeding and the economic breeding index, water quality and soil fertility, and protected urea. Well, after last week's very successful Finn Valley show, which drew big numbers, there are plenty more shows to look forward to in the coming months. Indeed, coming up shortly, we will have the Inishowen Agricultural Show. That's on the 19th of July, the oldest agricultural show in Ireland, and we'll have more on it in the coming week. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. From me, Chris Ashmore, until next week, goodbye.
Are you a farmer looking to grow your business? Get up to €75,000 with Cultivate, our competitive, unsecured agricultural loan. Visit us today at Inishowen, Ballybuffet and Stranorler, or Lifford Credit Union. Sponsors of today's farming show. Credit Unions of Ireland are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, July 3rd. The death has occurred of Maureen McGrath, née Glacken, 167 Laurel Drive, Strabane, reposing at the family home. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 9:30 for Requiem Mass at 10 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Melmount, followed by interment in St Mary's Old Cemetery, Melmount. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. until 12 noon. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Alzheimer's Society or the Foyle Hospice, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Des McGinley, Main Street, Milford, reposing at his home until 10 o'clock this evening and tomorrow from 12 noon until 10 o'clock. Requiem Mass on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock in St Peter's Church, Milford, followed by burial in Milford Cemetery. Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family flowers only. Donations, if desired, to the St Vincent de Paul Society, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Lily O'Sullivan, 61 Ballina, Falcarra, formerly of County Derry, reposing at her late residence. Family time, please, from after the rosary at 9 o'clock tonight. Funeral mass tomorrow at 12 noon in Chaffubble, Ní Finnan, Falcarra, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Falcarra Community Hospital, care of any family member, or Carton Funeral Directors. The Requiem Mass can be viewed on mcn.live. The death has taken place of John Devlin, Maher an Siúr Buncrana. Remains reposing at his residence until 10 o'clock this evening and again tomorrow from 10 a.m. until 10 p.m. Funeral from there on Saturday at 9:15, going to St Mary's Archery Buncrana for 10 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in Cockhill Cemetery. The death has taken place of Patrick G. Patsy O'Callaghan, Coola Drummond, Drumcliff, County Sligo, formerly of Castle Finn, Donegal. Reposing at his home in Sligo tomorrow from 5 o'clock until 8 o'clock. Removal on Saturday morning to St Columbkill's Church, Rathcormac, to arrive for Requiem Mass at 11:30. Burial afterwards in Rathcormac Cemetery. Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. The death has taken place of Peter Frederick Fred Moore, formerly of Tully Ach Murray, Fold, Port Stewart and Eglinton. Remains are reposing at W.J. O'Brien and Sons Funeral Home, 110 Clooney Road, Eglinton, this evening from 7 o'clock until 8:30. Funeral service will take place there tomorrow at 1 o'clock, followed by interment in Alton na Gilvin Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. The death has taken place of Nellie Cullen, Glasgow, and Devlin Ray, aged 100 years. Her remains are reposing at her daughter Mary Ellen's home in Devlin Ray. Funeral from there tomorrow, going to the Church of St John the Baptist, Kerrygart, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. And the death has taken place in her 102nd year of Ellen Freel, Ballard Fanad. Ellen's remains are reposing at her late residence. Requiem Mass tomorrow at 11 o'clock in St Mary's Fanavulti Fanad, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Residence Comfort Fund, RC Gonal Nursing Home, care of any family member, or Eamon Scott Funeral Directors. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.